Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hey people, Steve Bloom here, voice of Spike Spiegel, Wolverine, etc. You're listening to Nerdy Show. Tell a friend, they need people to listen or they'll close down. And I will personally come to your house and take your daughter.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
Hi, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Doug.
And this is State of the Empire, our Star Wars speculation podcast, where we look for news
in Alderaan places.
Wubba lubba dub dub. All right.
We need a Salacious Crumb laugh there.
Perfect.
If you guys are unfamiliar with Mike's voice, you may recognize him from Ghostbusters Resurrection. Thank you for being here.
First time on State of the Empire.
Woo. Yeah. Aside from being a professional Ghostbuster, he is also a huge Star Wars fan.
And it's been quite some time since our previous State of the Empire. Last one was in May. We were speculating on what would happen on May the 4th, and it turned out not an awful lot. There was a full-length Star Wars Rebels trailer, but there was speculation that there would be an announcement of the title for Episode 7, which was speculated to be Order of the Jedi. That could happen. It still seems kind of reasonable, but that didn't happen. And man, there's been so much stuff that I think for a lot of this episode, you know, naturally, this is where we're going to give you our thoughts on Episode 7, the other additional films, and of course, Willow Watch, where we talk about the potential future for a Willow sequel.
Willow.
You know, also any other news that's happened. I guess the biggest thing that the entire internet has...
Yeah, let's just get out with it just straight away.
Harrison Ford got his leg broken on the Millennium Falcon's hydraulic door.
Okay, now wait a minute. Wait. We need to clarify here, because I remember saying it was his ankle. Then they say it was his leg.
Really, it was his neck and he's dead.
Yeah, but also they just said hydraulic door. Does this mean the Millennium Falcon hydraulic door? Or does this mean that in between takes? Or was it like, oh, we're testing it?
The details have been sparse. StarWars.com did not report that the hydraulic door was on the Millennium Falcon, but every other news source from very credible sources said it was the Millennium Falcon. I don't know if that's speculation on their part,
okay,
but I don't
so
see
really,
any reason that they would.
What is Latino Review reporting? Because that's what we got to be watching. Oh,
they got some stuff correct early on, but they've been very wrong and every time we've reported on them since. So
I just want to separate the facts from the bullshit of it's just like, we know there's a Millennium Falcon set somewhere, so okay, logic tells us it could only be the Millennium Falcon's hydraulic door, because there's no other hydraulic door in Star Wars anywhere.
I do absolutely love, on the Millennium Falcon line, the J.J. Abrams picture.
There was Millennium Falcon pictures leaked, and I say leaked, and I think that there was a deliberate leak, but then J.J. Abrams followed it up with this note that was clearly on the hollow chest table, which actually is one of the many contributing factors that lends credence to Harrison Ford's ankle being busted on the Falcon. J.J. was there within a period of time. And whether it was a leg, whether it was his ankle, either way, it's a fracture and he's out for 6 months.
Right.
And as a result, Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams are once again petitioning the Disney executives to give them more time and release the film in May of the following year rather than the December 2017 date that they were given. And I think that that's probably the best call if your executive producer and your director
are once again
calling for an extension. And to release in May, the traditional release date of Star Wars, just fucking give it to them. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't care when it comes out, as long as it's good. Like,
right. Take your time. It's okay. Yeah, it's if it's a few months, as long as it's good.
On the note of Harrison
Ford. Star Wars fans' money is good whenever you can get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter when
it's
you get it.
It's just as good then as it is
I'm
now.
I'm still budgeting for when it comes out. Do not rush.
Yeah. I did read another article with an interview with Harrison Ford's physical trainer, because he has to get physical therapy for his leg.
That's interesting.
I don't know how truthful it is, but it sounded legit. And they were just talking about how, yes, he does have to have physical therapy to be able to, you know, get healed up so he can, you know, get back to work as soon as possible. And his physical trainer said, you know, they said, oh yeah, it's going to be up to 6 months, you know, he's whatever. And he basically said, oh, it'll be way sooner than 6 months. And they're like, really? And it's just like, yeah, he's pretty much already walking again.
And Harrison Ford is in the myth, unrelenting,
the
man. Right.
And the trainer supposedly said, yeah, he's 71 going on 27. And just was like amazed at the progress that Harrison Ford was making. And if there's any truth to that, then that's totally awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Shit. Oh, okay. What other rumors have we heard about the potential title for episode 7?
The Jedi Order thing is sticking around. It hasn't been going anywhere.
Right. Like, one that sucked that was getting a lot of traction a couple months ago was The Ancient Fear.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that may be just like a working title BS, you know?
Right.
Like,
Blue Harvest.
Yeah, Blue Harvest. Yeah, well,
those are dummy titles.
Right, I mean,
right.
That's different than Star Wars Episode 7, The Ancient Fear, because you already know it's Star Wars Episode 7.
Well, the original Batman Begins was originally called Batman Intimidation Game. I don't know if that was ever actually the legit title, but that's what they were referring to it as, like on like,
Batman, I'm Scary the Movie.
Batman.
I'd watch it.
But I haven't heard of any new titles. I'm just waiting for it to be dropped. Any day now, they're going to be like, oh, by the way, here's the title. Now, here's the other thing. When they announced the name for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, that was Shia LaBeouf on, was it the MTV Movie Awards or something like that? It was an award show where he announced it. It was like a big...
I mean, because, yeah, we got SDCC coming up, so there might be a massive announcement there.
Yeah, there was a big thing when Shia LaBeouf did that. I remember I was so excited. I'm like, what's it going to be called? And he's like, and I'm here to announce that the new film is called Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And the audience had the same reaction I did, which was, what? Everyone was kind of quiet. It wasn't like, yeah! It wasn't, like, oh no, it's like,
is this
Indiana
joke?
Jones, and he punches a Nazi. Yeah! It's like, no, it's just,
I want to watch that.
It's like when they announced, it's episode 2, Attack of the Clones. I was like,
I mean, like, there's something about all these classic style titles for Star Wars, like A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, The Return of the Jedi. Like, that's why I understood why Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Jedi, a Sith. I get that. I understand that. I'm hoping for something that is, like, once again, borderline campy for the titles of episodes 7 through 9.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully ones that you can take seriously, because they really did, certainly, if kids are going like, I don't know about that, like, that's not a good sign.
No, but that's why I'm saying borderline, because like Empire Strikes Back, it's like, that is borderline campy, but on the good side.
But yeah, Comic-Con sounds like might be the place to be.
Hopefully.
I was hoping it would be announced at, like, maybe Star Wars Weekends. Like, maybe they don't even have a title yet, for all we know. But if they do have a title and they didn't do it at Star Wars Weekends, what a wasted opportunity.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Do we know when the next Star Wars Celebration is going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be in Burbank in next year.
I thought it was Anaheim.
Anaheim is basically Burbank.
Okay.
It's basically near Disney. That's kind of the point.
They wouldn't wait that long, would they, to announce the title?
I mean, the movie doesn't come out till 2017, possibly 2018. It makes sense to me that, like, because of the way Star Wars is with their franchise,
right,
they want to have as much control over it as possible.
Right, right.
Releasing it on Comic-Con, it's going to get lost in a flood of things.
It's Star Wars, though.
I mean, here's the thing. I would speculate there's no chance it's going to be at Comic-Con. Comic-Con is a complete and utter clusterfuck,
right,
and it's dominated by a certain kind of film. Star Wars doesn't need Comic-Con, and Comic-Con doesn't need Star Wars.
Right, that's the thing. It's like, to me, like, Star Wars would be, quote-unquote, slumming it by announcing SDCC.
Star Wars is like, oh, hey, Tuesday's slow? Motherfuckers, Star Wars time. They don't need an event. They don't need fucking anything.
Yeah.
If I had to guess when we'd see a trailer, which would probably be where the name of the film would be announced, I would say this holiday season, attached to a large Disney-distributed film.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I don't know what the lineup looks like this year.
Planes 3.
No, dude, but even something like Guardians of the Galaxy, which is happening way too soon for anything serious to happen. But even Marvel films. But I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to announce it before in front of Marvel stuff now.
Star Wars Weekends did happen immediately following our last update, and they got Star Wars themed breakfast there. They replaced Star Wars Dance Off
Hyperspace with, Hoopla.
Yeah, the Hyperspace Hoopla with something a little bit more tasteful, I hear. It was a character tribute.
Actually, I'm probably one of the only people who's actually a little sad that the hoopla's not there anymore.
I'm sad hearing about it retroactively that I didn't get to experience it, because now that I have a restored joy in Star Wars, whereas before, it probably would have made me physically uncomfortable. Now yeah. I could view it in sort of a, man, look at this crazy shit kind of way.
Like, see, now you'd think that watching all these like Star Wars characters dance around, have like this dance off with, you know, a bunch of like DJs like talking like, yeah, blah, 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 up next is like Princess Leia, blah, blah, blah.
But yeah, I want to see that inexplicable Leia Padme dance off thing.
But when you get to the point where it's like, okay, we're going to announce the winners, and then the music stops and the Imperial March starts playing and Darth Vader comes out dancing to Michael Jackson, you stop caring that this is ruining your childhood, because holy shit, this choreography is incredible. The dude in this suit has all of my respect, because it cannot...
Hand in your card, sir.
It cannot
get
be
out
easy
of the studio
to do all of those moves while Vader wearing suit, yeah. Darth Vader's helmet and cape and breathing apparatus. That is skill. That whoever does that, if you're listening, you have all of my respect.
I'll put it this way. I remember when they first started doing those dance-offs, and there was something different about it. Maybe it's just my perception, maybe because I got older. But when it first started, everybody in the audience was laughing, and it was clearly all the time played for laughs, and it was short. It was only like a couple songs, and then there was no like whole announcer thing with who's gonna win. It was just, hey, here's some funny characters dancing, and it was funny, it was cute. But the more it went on, the more people were stopping, and even non-Star Wars fans coming in and just like crowding the area, and then the whole like, let's vote by cheering, but it never didn't matter because it was written the same way every time. You know, the Empire always is like, they cheat. You know, it doesn't, you know, whatever. And
like
I don't
a
know.
Last minute entry, Boba Fett shows up out of nowhere.
They tried to make it a thing. Clearly it was popular. Clearly people thought it was funny. But when they tried writing a script for it and like these reoccurring hosts and stuff, which they did their job, they were fine. I mean, my problem's not with them at all. It was just Disney tried too hard to make it something that it just could never be.
Well, I think the idea was that they tried to make it from like this like side thing, like, hey, we're gonna do Star Wars characters dance, to like, okay, well, this is the last Star Wars Weekends event of the day. This is our closing ceremony,
right?
So to speak.
And
so they had to kind of add a little bit more to it to make more people want to show up.
And I guess my beef with it, which isn't even that big of a beef, is just that because this is Star Wars Weekends is an event for fans who are so passionate that they'll come to Disney even from across the country sometimes to do this once a year. And the last biggest event they do for the day is a spoof. It didn't feel
which
honest.
Which is why they've changed it completely.
Right. No, I know. Yeah. So that's
what we've got now is James Arnold Taylor, the voice of Obi-Wan. He, at least for this year of 2014 Star Wars Weekends, they basically do a character highlight. So, you know, some choreography. Here's some bounty hunters. Let's see these bounty hunters fight. And they do some stuff. And I didn't. Anyway, I haven't seen it. We didn't actually make it out. Even though we live in Orlando, we didn't make it out. We've been busy.
Another cool thing is that with the fireworks display and that final event of the night. Throughout the day, if you took photos with your phone and hashtagged it with like a certain code, they would take your photos and put them on the big screen as a slideshow where it's like fans today, like the fan reaction today at Star Wars Weekends. And you get like the highlights of all the really cool photos that people took. So you could see yourself upon the big
screen.
That's
pretty cool.
It did sound pretty cool. Like a little bit more interactive, a little bit more fan focused was what it sounded really nice.
And still in May, there was a little quote from DICE, the guys who are working on the new Star Wars Battlefront. They said, people don't want another Battlefield with Star Wars graphics. They want a Star Wars game that's proper. That's to some hinted that it might be third-person gameplay.
Later, it was reported that, I don't remember exactly when, but DICE is having more control over that game now.
Right.
And I'm kind of excited over that.
Which is weird.
The third-person gameplay, I mean, that's almost exclusively how I played Battlefront 1 and 2. I just remember vividly seeing like jetpack clone troopers just all over the place and just having a blast. So I don't know what anyone's problem would be if it's third person, especially if you're going to get into a fighter. It's way easier to control.
Well, I mean, it depends on the console I was playing on. If I was on like the PlayStation 2 or Xbox, yeah, I was doing third person, but I bought it on PC, and PC lends itself really well to first person.
That's
so
very true.
It was hard to adapt at first, because then you're like, I'm used to seeing my character running around doing all these awesome things. Now it's just a gun with a scope in front of me. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't know why people are surprised. The initial reaction was like, wait a minute, what are they doing to it? I'm like, what do you mean, what are they doing to it? That's exactly what it was before. But I don't know. I still have a lot of high hopes. Everything that's coming out about Star Wars Battlefront sounds pretty cool to me.
We saw a very nice demo of the work that they're putting into it. We didn't see the game itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
People are like, oh, it's been like 2 years and there's still no actual gameplay. I'm like, well, I mean, look at it this way. They've been working on it for 2 years and we actually got to see a little bit of in-engine footage.
Yeah.
Even if it's not actual full gameplay, I'm glad that they are taking their time and not rushing something out like EA is prone to making its studios do.
Yeah. Right.
Battlefield 4. I will wait for however long before I can see actual like stormtroopers and rebels shooting at each other. As long as when the game comes out, it isn't just Battlefield with a Star Wars skin. Battlefield elements. I want to see, you know, big explosions. And when I blow up a shield generator, I want that generator to look
the game.
Amazing and have a huge effect on the battlefield. But I still just want it to be Star Wars and be Battlefront at its core.
Well, they really make it look like that they're building it from the ground up. Mm. Like, again, just to reiterate the point that they're not just slapping the new skin on Battlefield. Yeah, so, I don't know. It sounds cool to me.
They show they're doing, like, the 3D scanning of stuff from the actual...
Yeah, the props and miniatures
props
and everything.
And warehouse.
The EA presentation was less about games that they actually had any kind of release date for. It was more like, here's what our studios are doing. But what they did show of it, like the hands-on production, they went to the snowy wastelands where they filmed Hoth. They went to...
Go on a Star Wars field trip.
They went to the Redwood Forests. They also went to Skywalker Ranch. Now, that's very cool, and I'm glad they've done it. And their representation of Hoth looks more... Maybe it's just the graphics, but looks more true to that actual landscape than anything we've ever seen myriad times that Hoth has been represented there.
Yeah.
But it's like, it wasn't this grand vacation because, like, for them, they're based in that part of the world. That was right out their front door. And then they flew to Skywalker Ranch. What's right next to Skywalker Ranch? The Redwoods. So,
fair point. You know, I'm just saying, I'd still love to do it.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, like, hopefully they'll... I mean, Tunisia is obviously in a point of conflict so much so they can't even shoot there, but maybe they'll make
the trip. Well, episode 7's filming, like, where, in Dubai now or something?
Right,
so
yeah.
There you go. The desert, man.
I mean, regardless, that 5-second footage of what looked like Endor was...
Scout getting on the bike and stuff.
Was enough for me. I'm like, okay, that's an acceptable level of detail.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
One of the more interesting pieces of news that we as State of the Empire, Star Wars Speculation Podcast, can read into is something that Hasbro accidentally leaked. It was a list. You know, the going theory is that there'll be a new Star Wars movie every year once Disney's cycle begins. And they had this list that came out. Hasbro posted it. It ended up on some kind of a German website. They were asked to take it down. It's not online from its original sources anymore. It reads, 2014, Rebels. We're getting Star Wars Rebels this year.
Makes sense, yeah.
2015, Episode 7. 2016, Boba Fett. 2017, Episode 8. 2018, Solo.
Mm-hmm.
2019, Episode 9. And 2020, Red 5.
Hmm.
A Han Solo solo film and a Boba Fett solo film have been highly expected for quite some time now. Red 5 was the surprise on this list.
Right.
Yeah.
Those, if we can read this as gospel, which given the source it comes from, it very well could be, then we can confirm, yes, for sure, Boba Fett film, yes, for sure, Han Solo film, unfortunately, because I personally don't really think I want that. Maybe they'll give me a couple reasons I do.
Mm-hmm.
But Red 5, also very unconventional, because aside from Boba Fett, that points to recasting the original heroes with new actors or something, which
now,
is unexpected.
Unless, and I don't think this is the case, unless when that says Solo, Solo is a last name.
True.
What if it's Han Solo's kid?
That's true. I hadn't considered that.
The reason why I don't think that's the case is because people have been saying Han Solo spinoff, Han Solo this, Han Solo that. It's ever since the beginning, it's like the biggest rumors for spinoff films were Han Solo, Boba Fett. So I'm assuming it's going to be a Han Solo movie, but if it just says Solo, I mean, the other one says Boba Fett, does it not? Or is it just
right, it's
Fett?
Not like it just says
Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Or just says Boba.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. But then again, if I say, hey, Star Wars, Solo, you only think of one person, but maybe with the new trilogy, you might think different.
What year is that? 2018?
Yeah, after episode 8.
Right. So at that point, where's the focus?
It's, right. The newly established characters, right. We don't know who the fuck they are. And maybe that's just a project name. Maybe we don't even know. Maybe Red 5 is a project name, too. IO9 actually speculated that Red 5 could be a animated series of some kind, like maybe whatever Rebels turns into as the Rebellion progresses. I mean, granted, what's better than Red 5? Rogue Squadron. But right. That's just, you know.
The Rogue Squadron is not canon right now.
Yeah.
It's not canon until they make it canon again.
Right. Yeah.
And I think everybody who ever read a Star Wars novel or played the Rogue Squadron video games wants Rogue Squadron to be as canon as humanly possible.
And now, wait, what year does Red 5 supposed to be slated?
2020.
Yeah, 2020.
So it's after the trilogy.
Not only is it after the new trilogy, time-wise, that's more than 5 years after Rebels. Rebels is 5 years before A New Hope.
True.
Wow.
So if Rebels is a successful show and it goes on for 5 years, they're going to have to address the events of A New Hope. If that happens, Red 5, Rogue Squadron, maybe, possibly.
It could be. I don't know if we covered this at all, but there was a little side bit of news regarding Rogue Squadron, which is that Dennis Lawson, the actor who played Wedge, allegedly was approached to be in Episode 7 and turned it down because the role would be like too minuscule or, in theory, not paying enough.
Right.
Which is a shame because I think that we'd all love to see, like, one of the greatest things about Brian Wood's Star Wars comic is that it puts Wedge as a character who's just as valid to the core group as Han, Leia, or Chewie.
Right.
And Luke, of course. But he won't be represented in the films, which is a shame.
Well, he's been saying for years that he just doesn't really care. You know, I mean, like, he's, from what I read, he was, you know, grateful for all the attention that Star Wars gives him. But it was just sort of, at the end of the day, he's just like, hey, man, it's just
another movie.
Yeah, it's just another movie. So if he wasn't interested in reprising it, and then they approach him. I think the interview I read a while back, this is going back like a year or so, they're like, hey, what if you were, you know, someone asked him at a convention or something. It was a real quick question of just, hey, would you come back? And he was like, I don't know, probably not. And that was before he was approached. He said, probably not.
Right.
So the fact that they approached him and he's like, you know what? I don't want to go out to England for another several months and do this again, you know, whatever, screw it. So, you know what? Good for him, because I'd rather if he didn't want to do it, he decides not to do it, then begrudgingly do it for a paycheck.
Right.
Yeah. So
if the Boba Fett thing is the real deal, then we also know who's directing it. And we also know who's writing it. The director is Gareth Edwards, the guy behind Godzilla, and it's written by Gary Whitta. This is interesting. If you listen to our Godzilla review, there are many, many things that we liked about the film, and then also a lot of things, lots of the character interactions especially, that left us feeling unsatisfied.
I attribute that to more of a studio decision.
It did seem more like studio calls.
I felt like the writer and director knew what they wanted and they had a clear vision and they went
for it. There was enough there that made me go, they're doing it right.
I'm comfortable with them doing it. Now, why do we know supposedly for sure that they're the ones doing Boba Fett?
Because they were the first announced team for a Star Wars standalone film. And the first one coming up, if that Hasbro list is true, is Boba Fett.
Nah, but they were talking about Boba Fett. I remember way back a couple episodes ago, we were talking about the rumor that before Lawrence Kasdan was officially going to be writing Episode 7 with J.J. Abrams, he was supposedly working on Boba Fett because that was Empire.
He may have plotted it, like, for all we know. Yeah. But like the same way that Michael Arndt's script for Episode 7 could easily be Episode 8 or be cannibalized between the two films or anything, you know, any ideas they like, they can borrow from. That's just how it works. Matt, who unfortunately couldn't be with us for this episode, he and I got together when I was in Los Angeles for E3, and we watched Gareth Edwards' other movie, Monsters, the one that got him the Godzilla deal. Have you seen that?
Yes, I saw Monsters way back when it was before he was even announced that he'd be doing Godzilla.
It was a very interesting film. He clearly is a guy who loves world building, perhaps more than anything.
He has a keen eye for special effects as well, because that's what he did before he decided to make a movie of his own.
Right.
So, but I don't know. So this is a guy who clearly has an artistic eye, understands how special effects can be incorporated to tell a good story.
Right.
And not just be like, they'll just fill it in later. Like, he gets it.
Visually, yeah. I really like what he's done, and I like the opportunities that he presents for Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that choice, especially because of who he's working with. Gary Whitta is a name you might not recognize, but he worked on the Book of Eli, the film.
Oh, and, I really
and
like
he's
that.
And he's one of the original writers for Telltale's Walking Dead series.
Oh.
I love that series.
I can see that. Like, yeah, no, Book of Eli, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth watching.
No matter what project this was that these guys were working on, would have been amazing. The fact that it's Star Wars kind of blows my mind a little. The fact that it's a Boba Fett movie confuses me and yet reassures me, even though I don't want a Boba Fett movie.
Right. If the launching pad that they're going off of is Kazdan.
Yeah.
I've gone from zero to Boba Fett. Boba Fett where? Like
I am. You went constantly at yeah. Boba Fett. Boba Fett where?
No, I'm about to say you. At first, you're at Boba Fett. Now you're at Boba Fett where? So you've gone. You've made that leap.
I'm excited. I'm very interested now.
I will never not want a Boba Fett movie ever.
You say that now. Wait till you see the teaser. It's like, oh, I don't want a Boba Fett movie.
It's by Michael Bay. Oh.
And we've heard rumors that what's-his-face, the fella who played Django and became all the Bobas.
Temuera Morrison.
Yeah, is involved. Now, that's not substantiated very much at all.
Right.
But if he straight up portrays Boba Fett in this film, I mean, that would be kind of huge. If there's any, like, I don't know, mask-off scenes or if anything like that. You know, Daniel Logan was baby Boba.
Right.
And he could do something, but he's still not quite, you know, the adult that Boba Fett needs to be.
So that was interesting because, like, I remember when we, like, there was definitely this vibe that George Lucas was really digging Daniel Logan and really wanted to bring him places. But from the dark underside, we could see that Daniel Logan was definitely the party animal.
Oh, yeah. He is a total party dude. And that's cool. I would want to see Daniel Logan's version of Boba Fett. I'm just
I want
not
to see
sure
Daniel
that...
Logan's robot chicken Boba Fett.
Yes.
I want to see Boba Fett, you know, come into a fucking bar, like cantina, cocky as hell, slap a Twi'lek on the ass, and then like... A
little bit of Boba for you.
Finger to like, he's like, hey, what's up with two fingers at Dengar, who's sitting in a booth who like just raises his glass a little bit, and then he stumbles over to the bar, and he's like, give me whatever, I don't care.
Don't forget my little umbrellas.
Yeah. Duwant.
In addition to the Gareth Edwards news, then some other news came out that there's another director like announced for the Star Wars standalones, and that's Josh Trank, whose name I wasn't familiar with at all. We really won't know what Trank has to offer too much until we've seen how the reboot of the Fantastic Four goes down. He's the guy helming that. Mm-hmm. But he was also known for this lo-fi superhero film called Chronicle.
I didn't see Chronicle. I've heard a lot of good things. It was a found footage film about these kids who basically they gain superpowers and sort of a realistic look on how would that really affect a person.
Right.
And it was supposed to be good.
I remember seeing the trailer for it. It looked good. Kind of looked like very, very inspired by Akira. That's what I took from it. But it could be good. And he could be the director of the Han Solo solo film unless there's or whatever that ends up. Whatever the solo
Don't
film
Don't say the
is.
Han Solo solo film again.
All right, I won't. Fine. God.
And then weirder news, J.J. Abrams is not set to helm episode 8 and 9, but in fact, one person is set to helm 8 and 9. It's the guy who directed Looper, Rian Johnson, or Rian Johnson, but it's spelled kind of like Rain, but with the I and the A swapped. So I think it's Rian, but... I don't know.
I think Rian sounds about right.
Looper was pretty good. I enjoyed watching Looper.
I had mixed feelings about Looper, but that's just me. I know a lot of people really liked it. But clearly he's directing episode 8, but is he also directing episode 9
yes,
as well?
Yes, he is.
And that's confirmed that he's doing both?
I believe so.
Because, I mean, JJ's...
Everything said he's doing the next two films. Now, there's a lot of years for them to change their mind about that.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't understand what's going on behind the scenes there, but he's actually signed on for the next two films. 8 and 9. Looper dude.
I just wonder, because when JJ was announced, it was just assumed
that he was doing the whole franchise.
Well, I mean, but they didn't explicitly say one way or the other. So I just assumed that he'd be doing all three. And then when it's just like, oh, they announce Rian.
Oh, he also did Brick. Did you ever see Brick?
No, I didn't see Brick.
I love Brick.
Well, what's tricky about Brick is typically when someone says you would love Brick, then they'll either love Brick or they will hate Brick. Brick is a very divisive film.
It is.
I don't know anybody who's on the fence about Brick. They either love it or they really sincerely hate it.
Fun fact, it was actually filmed at my high school.
That is...
Fun fact, it's also actually based about your life story.
I wish. No, I don't. No, it was funny. I was watching it with best friend Bob, and we were both like kind of quietly, mentally going, that looks really familiar, because I'd taken him to my old high school. Like, there were just a few things. I'm like, that really looks like my high school, but I don't want to be the guy that goes, oh, yeah, that's totally my high school.
Right.
And then we're like, it was Guess an exterior what? Shot. Like, and we both were like, that's my high school.
So now you did become that guy.
Yeah.
That's my
but it was.
but yeah, so I mean, that's the sitch. I mean, that's unexpected. The guy's done some okay stuff, but can you imagine being him right now?
Interesting choice. In fact, I believe his Twitter, he posted a link to that scene from The Right Stuff where Alan Shepard is laying in the space capsule and he doesn't think anyone's listening and he just goes, oh God, please don't let me fuck up. And they go, what was that, Alan? He's like, oh, nothing. But speaking of Twitter, are you guys aware of J.J. Abrams posted a photo recently that shows an IMAX camera being used on the set of Star Wars Episode 7?
Oh, I did not see that, actually.
Ooh. Yeah, it was an IMAX camera on a crane, and it looks like that it was being used to film some exterior desert shots. So whether or not it'll be like The Dark Knight, where it's only for certain exteriors, or whether the whole thing's in IMAX, who knows? But J.J. Abrams loves some IMAX.
I'm about ready to go reserve my tickets over at Port Orlando right now.
You know what you should do, Hex? You should just start camping there right now. It's never too early. I mean, this is Star Wars after all. It is never too early.
So when he stands out there, they go, what are you waiting for? Star Wars. Which Star Wars? The one that the name isn't even announced yet. And it's on pause because poor Harrison Ford is in physical therapy.
Well, I want to be the first person here to see it.
Yeah. I don't think my pregnant wife will be okay with me.
She'll understand.
She'll be fine. Yeah. Star Wars. She'll
understand. You deliver the baby by the popcorn machine.
You were born to see this film, and you shall be there.
Oh, little Harrison.
You were aren't born you excited? In this line.
Little Harrison.
You'll die in this line.
You'll die in this line.
Well, hey, if Disney's cranking them out every year.
I will not be naming my daughter Harrison.
Be Harrietta.
Something I forgot to mention about Rian Johnson. He's actually writing the films as well. That's nuts. Like they have given him the keys to the kingdom. That's crazy.
Now, but see, at first I was a little worried, but then I thought, well, dude, you know what? I mean, the outline for the trilogy is probably already written. Like the story's probably already set. If anything, it's like,
for sure,
here's the outline. Sure. Here's the Bible. Base it off of this.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not, I don't think he's going to suddenly be like, what if the Solo spinoff is old Han Solo going back in time and young Han Solo is put a contract on old Han. It's like, I'm not worried about that at all.
No, and I'm not. He's a fine writer. Like it's just crazy.
It's a lot of power to give him. And for some reason, it didn't bother me as much with JJ because JJ's done Mission Impossible and Star Trek. He's handled a lot of big things like that. So I don't know, but I'm curious to see what happens.
Yeah. Like we've always said, hey, it can't get any worse.
I'm never going to say that ever again because yes, it could always get worse. It can indeed.
You know who I like? That Michael Bay guy. Could you get him to direct number 9? I think he's done good work with the Transformers.
Well, if you look at the amount of money it's making, yeah, he is doing a good job.
Everyone's wearing the Transformer shirt, but no one's wearing the Han Solo shirt anymore.
Now, I would see a Michael Bay directed Lando film. That's almost perfect.
Bad Boys 3?
Bad Boys 3. Just take whatever you're going to do for Bad Boys 3, put both of those characters together, make him Lando's lines, and just have him blowing stuff up, making out with some fine ladies. I would totally see that.
What movie have we here?
Oh my God.
After Red 5, and then in the year 2020, Star Wars Scoundrel.
He just gets off a communicator, and Lobot walks up and just goes, Poodoo just got real.
Poodoo just hit the fan. I'm going to freeze myself in carbonite until that happens. I can't wait.
We're going to cut some music now. Here's a little thing that headed our way just after our last episode. Kind of a big deal, so much so we actually posted about it on the site. And that is that for May the 4th...
I was so excited about finding this.
Wilbert Rogier, the composer for the canceled Star Wars First Assault, one of the games that was basically ready to go.
He's also doing the soundtrack to the new Tomb Raider, so he's still a very active composer.
This is like his first major gig.
Yeah.
It got totally canned once LucasArts got dissolved by Disney. And so he released on his own SoundCloud for like a matter of hours the main theme for Star Wars First Assault. And it is one of the most gorgeous piece of Star Wars music that you have heard since a Williams score from the original trilogy.
No, like, it is really good.
It makes me mourn the loss of this game. Because this wasn't something he made to celebrate what could have been this game. This was going to be
part
in the
of
game.
The game. Yeah,
this
yeah.
was just, to me, this was a sample of what we could have had.
Right.
So we had a couple words with him, some quotes from him about it. We'll link to that. It's not exactly an interview, but we'll link to that information on this episode's page. And right now we're going to play for you a little track called The Might of the Empire, which truly and utterly embodies exactly that. So let's talk real quick about that that crazy preview video that J.J. Abrams did. I really love his embracing the fandom, knowing exactly where he is, not being overly secretive with anything, you know, more than reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that video, like in obviously Tatooine.
Yeah, where he's hanging out and there's a fucking creature in the background. And then Doug, you identified the or you found some where someone had identified.
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation on what the heck is this thing? Is it pre-established? Is it original? And then somebody, I can't even remember where it was originally, someone said, that looks like a... looks like one of those creatures. And so I Wikipedia'd it and I'm like, whoa, this might be the first time. And if this is one of these creatures, it would definitely be the first time we see it in a live action movie.
That's awesome. It's a Hidrachi and they are some, you know, weird camel face people. And it looks like all the source material looks exactly like that thing that was behind J.J. Abrams in the video.
Yeah, granted, maybe a little shorter and a little more hunched, but that's just, you know, I'm a little short and I'm a little hunched.
That so one was it was carrying a lot of shit on its back. Yeah. Sure, why not?
While on one hand, okay, cool, we're in Tatooine again. I'm really excited about that. Yay, practical effects.
I was going to say, I'm really glad there's actually like an actual creature there on set and not just some dude in a green suit like, pretend I'm an alien.
Right, and there's people like in this bazaar, just like, dust is picking up, let's push the stuff down. It's like...
And at the risk of sounding like a complete idiot, why does it have to be Tatooine?
No, so like...
It could be another desert planet for all we know.
The Hidrachi are not from Tatooine, even though it's clearly a desert species, so it could be another planet.
Tatooine is also like a total crossroads. Like, they're... Especially because of the huts, there are everything... Everything is on Tatooine.
Except it's supposed to be a backwater planet where no one would dare look for the child of Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, that's the thing. But it's like because of the huts, you will find something of everything there because
it's way out in the middle of nowhere. The huts are like, hey, we can operate all of these crime rings and not have to worry about the Empire coming out.
I mean, it's a crossroad so that all kinds of creatures come through. but it's not enough of a crossroads that like it actually gets policed.
Yeah, the Empire doesn't care about Tatooine, really.
But to the answer of, could this not be Tatooine? Yeah, very possibly. Like, this it's a big galaxy.
I kind of hope it isn't, because I don't like the idea that it's like, oh, if they're going to film in a forest, that must mean Endor, and if it's snowy, that must mean Hoth, because in the Star Wars universe, each planet only has one environment.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh no, it's an ice planet. The entire planet looks like this. It's like, come on, man. Earth has all these different places, obviously, because they film it on Earth. So why can't Hoth have, another area over here? Why can't Tatooine have an area here that's actually like a giant oasis city? Why not? I mean, come on, man. Fucking go nuts. It's Star Wars. You don't have to say, no, desert planet, only sand here. Well, then where do the Tusken Raiders? Only sand here. It's like, what do they eat? Creatures that womp live rats. In the sand. Womp rats. Yeah, it's like, what do the womp rats eat? They eat the scraps of food that people bring here. It's like, well, then why did people come here if there was nothing here but sand? To get away from the law. And it's just like, it doesn't make sense. Let's just have fun. Like,
one of the coolest things about that set they've been working on in some of the leaked pictures is that there's a structure that is straight out of an unused Ralph McQuarrie design.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Which just goes to show, well beyond, like, you know, Rebels is pulling a lot from older McQuarrie designs. Like, they're taking everything they can and tearing it apart and rehashing it, and that's a good thing, though. Yeah. Like, they're taking...
I'm excited that they're willing to go that far back to the source material to be inspired.
I mean, every piece of original art McQuarrie did, they didn't use, is a missed opportunity.
Yes, everything absolutely. Old is new again. And at the risk of sounding cynical, wouldn't that just save the money on trying to come up with new ideas?
Sure as shit would.
Yeah, so but, it's like, look, we have all this artwork. We don't have to hire anybody to do it. Look at all this artwork. And you just go nuts and just make it, you know, based on all the old stuff.
At the same time, it's pretty sweet, though.
It is pretty sweet because the artwork is awesome. So
I mean, because it's like, we could create new stuff, or here's all this old stuff that is really sweet that no one's touching.
Right.
Bit of bad news is that...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Star Wars Attack Squadron got canceled before it even came out.
Right.
That was a game that we had an early first look at. We offered beta codes in our last episode for people to get an early play. And lots of you fans, listeners who were talking to us about it were really enjoying it. I loved it. I thought it was like the best possible incarnation of like an online flight sim melee Star Wars game that you could have hoped for. And I don't know why the fuck did they cancel it?
It really felt like it was an online Rogue Squadron. And yeah. That's what I wanted. One step below having another TIE fighter or X-Wing simulation game, which is what I really want.
Yeah.
But I was willing to accept, you know, a free-to-play Rogue Squadron with...
Highly customizable ships.
Microtransactions to customize your ships or just play the game to unlock stuff. That was a really cool idea. I was on board for that. So I'm a little more than a little sad to hear that it's being canceled.
Was it because maybe there weren't enough people playing it, or did Disney say, you know what, we got to move in another direction?
Like, you can't really
That there was no reason cited, and my personal speculation on it is I think that EA, who has the rights to make Star Wars video games, with the exception of online and mobile games, which falls into Disney's category, may have seen it and were like, guys, this looks a little too awesome, and we're worried that it could damage the brand that we're establishing as a Star Wars designer for during the duration of our contract.
It doesn't damage the brand, it damages their wallets. Yeah. Like, so, whatever.
And that's the only thing I could think of, is that maybe EA complained.
It doesn't make sense, like, hey, so we don't have enough people in our closed beta. We should shut down the whole game.
It was like,
too bad we already made it.
There was a level, one of the early featured beta levels, that was the ruins of the Trade Federation ship in the orbit of Naboo, the one that young Anakin helped in blowing up. The ruins of it, which is really cool because we haven't seen that anywhere. And you fly around it, and you can also fly inside of it.
I know, that was so rad! Like, flying around an interceptor, and some dude in X-Wing gets on my tail. I'm like, all right, I'm going to fly into the ruins and lose him. I'm going to make him hit the falling girder that's fallen down this hallway. And it was awesome. It's really intense knowing that you can do that, and it feels like straight out of the movies almost.
And that's just a really creative setting. Like, that's not a setting that, thinking of the repercussions of an event, that even if it's an event that isn't that popular, it's not a lot of people like, oh man, remember when episode one with the thing blowing up? That was so cool. Like,
I got a question. How come that thing wasn't strip mined for minerals for anything in the 30 years in between episode one?
Because that game is completely out of continuity. It's just a fun game. That's all it is. Yeah.
But I would...
Out of continuity, but it's a broken thing.
I would counter.
When the Gungans did establish their base on the moon, they probably would have mined it for parts, Doug. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, even the Death Star stage, it was like the latest stage of beta. They added the Death Star level. And even that wasn't really as good as that ship
droid,
level.
The Droid Trade Federation.
Yeah. I mean, I've fought on the Death Star in games a million times over. I've done this so many times, it's old hat by now. But that was kind of fresh. That was new. I like that.
Right.
Somewhere George is like, why didn't you like the movie? It was fresh and new.
So San Diego Comic-Con is coming up this month. I'm going to be there, and so is Aaron from A Comic Show. If you're going to be there, then you should definitely hit us up on the forums or comment on this episode's page. And maybe we can do a meetup, because that would be totally rad.
Or high fives and makeouts.
Yeah.
I'm volunteering Cap and Aaron for high fives and makeouts.
Okay. So there's going to be some Star Wars Rebel stuff happening. There's going to be a panel. Dave Filoni is going to be there. Simon Kinberg, Freddie Prinze Jr., Vanessa Marshall, Steve Bloom, Tia Sarkar, Taylor Gray. Maybe Greg Weissman. He wasn't listed, but I don't see why not. He was there last year.
That'd be awesome.
And so there's going to be this panel. There's definitely going to be an extended trailer. Will I be able to like get in line to see this thing?
Oh, you'll get the line.
Will I see it? I don't know. But also Hasbro's action figures will be on display there. So we'll see.
Make sure to steal one for us.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that. No problem.
High five makeouts and felonies.
But they showed off a new character from Rebels recently. You guys are big fans of like badass Imperials, right?
Yeah.
Like you've all shown great support for Imperial officers who don't fuck up.
Yeah.
Or don't get enough respect.
Right, right. Well, here's one named Agent Callus. That seems like too much of a throwback to the Lucas era of naming things.
Admiral Bone to pick.
So here's Darth Bad Guy.
Yeah.
As you can see, he's got some really intense.
Looks mean.
He's got some intense mutton chops there, so he could be a good threat. You know, I don't know. But otherwise, I guess like all the big news for Rebels, which is debuting later this year, is all going to happen at Comic-Con. So when next we meet for State of the Empire, everything there is to know, we'll
have it.
We'll know it.
And I'm putting down money that we won't know the title.
Yeah, title.
I'd agree. Yeah, yeah.
There was some internet conflict with. Oh man, here's the cast of Star Wars, and there's like no ladies in it. At all.
And then there's lots of ladies.
I wouldn't say lots.
I mean, there's more. Like, there's Brienne of Tarth.
I have no idea how excited I am for that.
Well, that's the thing, is that after there was this whole, like, quasi-backlash on the internet, they were like, here's two more actresses. You may be familiar with them. Lupita Nyong'o, who's, you know, a recent Academy Award winner, and Gwendolyn Christie of Game of Thrones both joined the cast of Star Wars Episode 7. Man, quite an intense cast.
Now, I broke that news to my roommate. It's actually a pretty funny story. We're both big Game of Thrones fans. Like, lady who plays Brienne of Tarth is going to be a new Star Wars. He's like, oh man, I hope she's a Jedi. I was like, nah, Sith.
Yes!
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Make her real ugly. Give her the Palpatine wrinkles.
The butt forehead.
Palpatine wrinkles.
I just want to see her swinging a red lightsaber and like dark robes and armor.
Oh, man.
Fun fact, behind the scenes, I guess this is confirmed that the props department for Episode 7 in England ordered a gold-plated pair of dice to authenticate the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, supposedly someone was on the set and they looked at the cockpit and they go, hey, where's the dice? And then other people were like, what are you talking about? It's like, dude, the freaking dice. And they bring up the film like, oh, shit, we didn't even get the dice yet. And they had to quickly go get some dice.
And I'm like, you know what? In the 30 years after all the battles, I can accept if the dice aren't there. But you know what? Good on them.
The fact that they're that. And it's a new paradise.
Yeah, it's a new paradise.
Han may have lost the old pair. Yeah. It's like, you know, Chewie, hold on, you got to pull over.
No, I see. I want to see the scene. I want to see the scene where after Han gets back into the Falcon, after Lando took it and the radar dish broke off, he's like, "What? You said not a scratch?" And he's just like, "Sorry, Han. It's, you know how things happen." He's like, "Get out of here. Just go into the back." And he starts to fly, and he goes, "Where's the dice?" And Chewie's, "What do you mean he threw the dice away? The good luck dice. That's why we haven't had a scratch." I'm gonna kill that son of a bitch.
We gotta stop somewhere and get some dice.
We're stopping now. Chewie, we're doing it now. Let's go.
I want to see a space convenient, like basically something straight out of Spaceballs.
Yeah.
That's what we're watching. That's what I want.
I just want. I just see Lando like getting into the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon going, "What did he do to my what is this tacky thing?"
Yeah,
gross.
Oh, no, he did not.
Lando would love that.
Lando would love the dice. Lando's like, "I'm a gambler myself, I understand." Or actually, there's no respect for the game, man. It's like he takes it, throws it out. It's like, I mean, Lando, I could see Lando when he owned it was very much like pimp paradise, basically. Mm. It wasn't cheesy. Whereas Han Solo gets in there, he's like, "I'm a gambler, I'm a smuggler," and he's like, this is trash, Han. What is this?
I can see him putting the dice on there, like during the game, where they're betting for
Like, they're playing the game at the table, and he's just like, "Well, fine, if you can beat me in this hand, I'm calling your bluff. You get the Falcon." Han's like, "All right, I'll take that bet." And then as soon as that cards come down, he's just like, "All right, it's mine." Hangs up the dice. Like, "Han, get that off of here. I know you were cheating." It's like, it's mine now.
Like, the Lando's just sitting there. Got the dice. He's like, "I'm gonna put you are not going to put those on my ship. This is going right in the dashboard.
I'm hanging this right here." And it's funny, when he comes back to Cloud City, you know, Empire Strikes Back, he walks up and he's like, "You slimy, no good." He's calling him all these horrible things
because of the dice.
Because he's
Chewie told him. He's like, Chewie somehow is able to talk to Lando afterwards because they're all friends. So, "What do you mean he found the dice and put him back up? He told me out of respect he'd never do it." Cut to, "You slimy backstabbing, double crossing. You got a lot of guts coming back here
after what you pulled."
In expanded universe news, Timothy Zahn recently did an AMA on Reddit, and we have a couple choice quotes separated from that. This might just be the tip of the iceberg, because there's obviously a lot to go through there. He said, "Not only was I given no input on Mara's fate, I wasn't even told about it until a couple months before publication." Now, actually, I'm not familiar with what happened to Mara Jade in recent history, so I don't know. I assume she died or something?
Yeah, it was less than stellar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Timothy's on, they didn't fucking tell him until a couple months before publication. "If I'd been offered a say, though, I would have argued against it. My vision of Star Wars is good versus evil, with the heroes struggling to win and the major characters making it through. Otherwise, either Lando or Wedge would have died inside the second Death Star. For the record, this isn't just because Mara was my creation. I'd have argued against killing Chewbacca for the same reason."
It seems that it's like killing them off means you've run out of ideas.
Mm.
We don't know what to do with them, so let's kill them off. I got mixed feelings about killing off characters like willy-nilly. Like,
yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of the whole second Galactic Civil War. I wasn't really okay with it.
Yeah.
That was with the invading aliens from outside the galaxy?
No, that was the Vong invasion. The second Galactic Civil War is like one of the Solo kids like falls to the dark side and becomes like Darth Cadus.
Yeah.
And he ends up killing Mara Jade. I didn't like that.
At one point, it's just like, do the citizens of the galaxy just feel that this is like the royal family, where it's like, this family keeps fucking everyone over? Like, this bloodline is just let's just kill all the Skywalkers.
Every time there's a goddamn Skywalker. Yeah.
Every Galactic Civil War has Skywalker had something to do with it. Let's just kill all the Skywalkers and we'll all be better off.
That's totally fair.
Hard truth. I mean, the heroes are actually the bad guys.
Hard truth. Star Wars Legacy. Star Wars Legacy kind of touched on that.
Another piece is, he said, "I would certainly be interested in writing more Star Wars. I presume Lucasfilm Limited wouldn't simply give me carte blanche, but would want something specific, like a spinoff from Episode 7 maybe, or some backstory filler. If they really let me do whatever I wanted, I have a couple ideas." All right, 20 to 30. And in mind, but all that depends on them.
Hmm.
And it's not like he has a lot of really awesome ideas in the past or anything.
Not like he understands Star Wars or anything.
It's not like he kept the franchise alive during the 90s.
Not like he cares or anything.
Not like Admiral Thrawn was fucking amazing or anything like that.
Not like he's really busy.
to conclude the expanded universe portion of the State of the Empire, we're an issue away from the conclusion of Brian Wood's amazing Star Wars series, and like Sad. Only a matter of months away from the end of Dark Horse and Star Wars. I mean, they're cranking it out fast. There's one book they've put out, the Darth Maul book that ties into unused Clone Wars scripts that is completely and 100% canon. And that will be the only thing that Dark Horse has published, unless something gets like added into the canon from the past, that will have been canon to the current Star Wars. And they are collecting that lightning fast. I mean, the week after that final issue of that series comes out, the collection comes out. Like, they're getting, they're publishing every book they can before that deadline. So recently, the Star Wars ended, as in the book called The Star Wars, the comic series adapting Lucas's original screenplay. It started off, it was pretty interesting. There are so many different elements from the prequels and the original trilogy in play from the get-go. It was actually shocking how much of it was in there and how much he mined his original work for the prequels. And then it got really, really bad. And you could see the way that Lucas's writing was so, like, his characters are so stale. There were so many pieces of dialogue that felt like they were pulled right out of the prequels that were just god-awful. Like, the characterization was bad, bad, bad. And they got to the Endor equivalent where they met the Wookiees that were kind of in the Ewok role. And man, it's terrible. Just super terrible. However, in the final chapter of it, some very interesting stuff happens that is rather unique. The character of Darth Vader is kind of split in two in this. There's a guy called Vader, and he's got a helmet and a red eye, but he's not a fully masked guy. And then there is a masked guy, and he's different. And that guy, Vader's like a dude. Vader's like just an imposing imperial dude. And there's this guy, Valorum, who does wear a mask. And he kind of looks like the kind of ninja part of the Vader. And he's a Sith.
Valorum, as in Chancellor?
Right.
The name might be. Yeah.
Right. That's the only parallel I was seeing, but it's just interesting that even that name was recycled.
In this, Anakin, who's like one of the last Jedis, he gets tied up, fit to be tortured in the Death Star, and he's being questioned by Valorum, who starts kind of like monologuing at him, like, you're a fool to come here. Like, what were you thinking? This is a place for androids, no codes, no honor. And then Vader comes in, and he's like, kid, you fucked up. I'm taking you off site. You're going to be executed. Fuck you. Fuck the Jedi. And the Sith guy, he fucking saves him. And he's like, there's no honor here. Our old ways are being extinguished by this empire. And you and I, if you were to die by my hand, it will be honorably. And so, like, it turns into this, like, buddy thing between him and Anakin, like, for just a hot minute in this. And it's amazing. It's a Sith guy who's like, look, I'm working for the Empire. They don't like me. They don't like what I represent. And they want to wipe it out. But I don't believe in our traditions being wiped out. And you and I, we're the dichotomy here. Like, you're the good. I'm the bad. This is important. And they're not going to kill you. And I'm not going to let them.
That's amazing.
That's a cool idea to be like, look, I'm going to kill you later, definitely.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
But just
definitely.
not like this.
No. We like, got to get out of here first.
Yeah. Like, I like that.
He says, I'm not leaving without the princess. And Valorum says, impossible. There are traps everywhere. You're mad. And then Anakin goes, it's love. And he goes,
well, that was written by Lucas. He says,
love? Now I remember why our clans have fought for 1,000 years.
You idiot.
Love is dumb.
So they have this thing.
I'm bad. Love is dumb.
It just lasts during a few pages in the last issue, but like, it's completely unique. I've never read anything like that anywhere in Star Wars, and it was brilliant. It was written by George Lucas. And then, surprisingly, and I ran this by Matt to see if he'd ever heard of this, because he's such an entrenched Star Wars historian. It ends with a crawl. And here's what the crawl says. As word of the destruction of the space fortress spread, 1,000 new systems joined Queen Leia and the rebellion, causing a significant crack in the Great Wall of the Galactic Empire. The acts of Skywalker and Starkiller once again sparked fear in the hearts of the greedy and malevolent. A nuisance of liberty, not felt for 100 years, swept through the hearts of all. But our hero's greatest adventure was yet to take place, one which would be known as Saga of the Unfunky.
What? Wait, did you say Saga of the Unfunky?
O-P-H-U-C-H-I. O-Funky.
Let me see that. Look at this. What is,
and
what is,
Matt has never heard of this.
O-Funky?
And not the Saga. Saga. Just that would be known as Saga of the O-Funky.
Was this being like...
O-Fukai?
Was this being dictated where someone just interrupted him by kicking him in the balls? It's like Saga of the O-Funky!
Sorry, could you spell that?
No.
So here's the thing. I mean, this is ages ago. I'm sure millions of things have changed and all that. But Lucas is kind of notorious for holding on to his old notes and using them. This story here, in one screenplay, outlined major aspects of the prequels and the original trilogy. If he ever had notes for that, that could easily be things that turned into this new trilogy, if they're still mining Lucas for ideas. Weirdly enough. Unlikely, very unlikely, fucking stupid as hell name. Nothing's changed there, but...
I mean, I wonder if that had something to do with, like, the idea of the Force having, like, totems, like those crystals and stuff, and if it, like... Because it doesn't say battle, it doesn't say conflict, it just says the greatest adventure. So it might be a search for something? Because, yeah. Again, this is also pre-Indiana Jones, so there's probably seeds of Indiana Jones adventure-style
sure.
stuff in there. Like, man, I don't know. That's a puzzler.
Yeah, right?
And I gotta say, seeing Vader on the cover, it totally looked like Dark Helmet. Like, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Right, yeah, Vader, yeah. Vader without a mask.
That way without a mask. Yeah.
Kind of off-putting, actually.
It's kind of cool. It looks kind of samurai-ish, but also like one of the Death Star technicians, you know? Like, the guys are in the AT-STs. I don't call them AT-ATs.
Appreciated.
How about some Willow Watch, guys? Are you ready for Willow Watch?
Ooh.
Am I?
Willow.
Welcome to Willow Watch, my friends, where we search for all signs of life for the Willow franchise and any indication that there might be a Willow sequel. In the past, we've found many things pointing to a wealth of information, a whole world developed for Willow, never tapped, a television series that never made it to the air, and certainly potential for any number of other films or anything really set in the fantasy world of Willow. You may remember last State of the Empire we talked about, like, the next episode may be actually entirely Willow Watch. That hasn't happened yet. It's probably going to be the next thing we do, where we're going to talk to the guy who wrote the Willow Sourcebook. And that is a comprehensive, practically like an RPG manual for the world of Willow with no gaming system associated with it. It's a book that acts as a tome of stories about the world and the characters, and then also includes stats that you could translate into Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. There's no rules or anything like that. Just a couple of numbers to say if you want to throw this person into your campaign, this is how you do it, and this would be their backstory, which is really cool.
And it's concurrent with a lot of the other stuff that we've read, like in the Willow novelization, which had a wealth of extra information that clearly fit in with the world. This book actually reinforces and in some cases like improves upon.
Yeah.
Indicating that there was most definitely a massive Willow Bible mm-hmm. that could be tapped at any point in time by Disney. So we're going to take this opportunity to kind of whet your appetite for what might be in store when we speak with the man behind the Willow source book, Alan Varney, who's also one of the guys behind Paranoia XP. So we're going to read an excerpt from it. Doug, what should we read?
Something not too big, because, I mean, the character backgrounds, some of them are really in-depth, but in a great way. Burglecut's got a short one, which is interesting. Lug is funny. Lug's got a funny entry in there.
One of the ones that impressed me most was the story of Sorsha becoming a warrior.
That was a good one. Mad Mardigan, how he got in the cage. That's pretty good. Actually, Mad Mardigan has a really long, interesting story that... really was heartfelt. Like, you could almost see it being its own spinoff movie. It was really, really cool. Hex is laughing at something. What'd you find?
I just love that in here, there are gaming notes, as explained, and mm-hmm. so I'm looking at Lug.
Yeah.
Who's a fifth skill level fighter, of course, has a strength of 18, intelligence of 4, matching charisma. Skills, stable keeping, brawling, womanizing, twisting off heads. Equipment.
I like a womanizing is a skill, like he's good at it.
Equipment. None needed. And the quote for Lug by Mad Mardigan is charming fellow. So there's definitely like some cleverness behind this, some humor, and it's really it's a really good source book.
There's a lot. There's several pages on Vonkar.
Because there's this amazing story of Vonkar in the novelization itself.
If go back to previous State of the Empire episodes, if you want to hear that.
Yeah.
And it fully goes through it. And it's really interesting, just kind of the notes, like for Vonkar, it talks about his equipment. Vonkar always wears his silver ring. It is not magical. So it's just like there's a lot of thought put behind everything in here. It's really cool.
Let's pick a really minor one that's maybe a couple paragraphs or a page, skim over it real quick, and tell us something we didn't know about that character.
Rule of the two brownies, Fragine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Among the simple-minded brownies, Rule is perhaps the most simple-minded. Like some humans, the ones who make you wonder how they survived infancy, Rule possesses unusual luck. It has served him from seemingly certain doom 100 times over the centuries.
Yeah, that's the other thing, that they're centuries old. The brownies are hundreds of years old.
While Frangine has an intelligence of 10, Rule has an intelligence of 5, meaning he's still smarter than Lug.
That's not a stretch. That's
like, your mother was a lizard.
Then they also have all kinds of monsters in here, like a cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
Death dogs. Bavmorda bred the death dogs, her feared war and hunting dogs from wolf-like predators that hunt the western wilderness. These nighthounds kill livestock and occasionally owners of livestock. The nighthound packs foil hunters. When a trap or tactic brings down one hound, the rest of a pack learn to avoid the trap or defeat the tactic. Their cunning matches the rats. That's interesting. That's cool.
Because they have rat tails.
Yeah. Oh, wow. They got gaming notes for Bavmorda.
Oh, gosh. Bavmorda's backstory is intense. It's actually kind of badass.
Oh, my gosh. She's a 36th level wizard.
I would love to run a Willow one-off RPG, but the twist is, because it's like, when would it take place? And I came up with this idea where you'll play as either maybe a wizard or two wizards, and the rest would be disgraced Knights of Galandorn, because once she takes over, those knights are disgraced, and they're gone, and they're split, and because they've all failed or whatever. So the quest would simply be a one-off quest where one of the party is a wizard, or maybe none of them are, but let's assume that someone wants to be a wizard. They say, look, I've gathered you guys here today because you're the last surviving Knights of Galandorn, and I'm a mediocre wizard at best, but if you want to regain your honor, we need to assassinate Queen Bavmorda. And I know that by myself, I wouldn't stand a chance. I'm not even close, but if we can set a trap and we can distract her and her powers are spread too thin, we might get lucky. We might have strike a killing blow, and that's enough to get people started. So basically, it's a quest where you most likely will die by the end, but I think it would be really fun to play and really interesting. Instead of playing like an evil campaign where you're going to just kill people left and right, here, these are good guys on an assassination mission.
Right.
So there could be something really cool about that, and I would love to do that.
There's even 2 solid pages for Ethna, the midwife.
Yeah.
Who saved Laura Dana.
Yeah, dude, there's so much rich history to go
through
here. She's
a zero-level normal person.
Yeah. She made it pretty far considering, yeah. I gotta say.
2 months, according to this.
Yeah, yeah.
So look forward to further examinations of the world of Willow from the Willow Sourcebook and, of course, our conversation with the man who wrote it in the near future. And hey, if you like State of the Empire, let us know. Let us know what kind of stuff you want to hear most about from the world of Star Wars.
Or Willow. If you want to hear something about Willow, we'll read you the part of the book.
There's a new way to listen to State of the Empire. State of the Empire and Pokeballs of Steelix are two of our first shows that we've dumped entirely onto YouTube. It's a new way to share the show. And not to mention that all Nerdy Show programming, including State of the Empire, is being moved to SoundCloud. So in the very near future, you'll see that on nerdyshow.com, all of the podcasts, with the exception of some older archive shows, are all linked to SoundCloud. If you've never used SoundCloud before, it's kind of like the YouTube of noise. And
but it's cool because like I love how you can comment at specific parts on the timeline.
Yeah.
So you can see where everyone's talking. It's like, oh boy, so I bet something funny or terrible is about to happen. And then it pops up and then you can add your 2 cents to it right there. And it's really easy to share as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So now for the first time ever, actually, our former plugin that we've been using for all these years over at Nerdy Show didn't allow us to embed podcasts anywhere. So now you can actually, if you want to share Nerdy Show with somebody, it's as easy as dumping the SoundCloud URL onto their Facebook page. And it looks real nice, too.
Yeah, you can play it right from the Facebook feed, too. I was actually listening to an earlier episode of Ghostbusters while I was updating about the newest one right there in my main Facebook feed. It was really cool.
So, yeah, look forward to more connectivity from Nerdy Show. That's what we're doing right now. We're going to be putting a ton of our older content and all of our new content up on YouTube as well as SoundCloud. But SoundCloud is our main hosting place. They've got a real good thing going on there, and we're excited about publishing all of our shows through SoundCloud. Last month was a lot of fun. Last week, we put out a Dungeons and Doritos episode, so this is our first chance to update on how things went down with the support drive. Nerdy Show is an entirely listener-supported podcast network, and all of our other projects, including things like Nerdy FM or our YouTube videos, are completely listener-supported by you. And when you support us, and any amount helps, no matter how small, no matter how large. We graciously thank you, and we send you a ton of cool outtakes and other stuff in your email. New perks from this month include 20 minutes of outtakes from various 2014 Nerdy Show shows, including some of our special guests and many, many hosts. Sometimes some of our bonus perks will be like, oh, here's a selection of outtakes from a single episode because there were so many. And sometimes they'll be like one or two that's too long for us to throw hidden at the end of an episode. And so this whole potpourri of Nerdy Show weirdness stacks up. And so now we've got 20 minutes of Nerdy Show weirdness
nice.
For your listening pleasure. And if we make it to $600 this month, because every amount helps, $300 is our minimum goal for the network cost. But if we make it to $600, you'll unlock 15 minutes, maybe even a little bit more after this episode, of State of the Empire outtakes from our past three episodes.
Oh, no.
And last month was a Dungeons and Doritos support drive where, in addition to you getting cool stuff and supporting the network, you also got to decide what would be the next campaign that Dungeons and Doritos would do. Last month, we made $483, and the Dungeons and Doritos campaign that won was Perchance to Dream, suggested by Sage Zero, with $143, also really? Sponsored by Robert Rangel and Muckraker. It narrowly beat out Ape of a Thousand Dicks by just a little over $10.
Wow, because that one was in the lead for so long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Ape of a Thousand Dicks was 131, and Perchance to Dream was 143.
I think Hex Boom. Is very relieved to hear that.
Well, I was really hoping we could do that very Joseph Campbell approach, where it's the Ape of a Thousand Dicks, just like the Hero of a Thousand Faces. So
interpreted in a thousand
Everyone's
different ways.
Everyone's talking about that ape's dick in a different way.
It's like that Batman the Animated Series episode, Almost Got Him, you know?
Yeah! I used a rock.
To
it was
bash
a really
his dick.
Big rock.
Are we going to play Dick Puncher at the end of this episode? I got to say, I love that song.
How many times are we going to play Dick Puncher? I don't know.
I don't know. But it's,
not
it's
enough.
Never enough. Never enough.
Never enough.
We got to give some shout outs to some people who contributed right at the end there. Benjamin Weatherall said, keep up the awesome work, guys. I'll go with the Glampire's Crystal Web. We won't win, but I love me some Bowie. And get excited, man, because immediately after us recording this episode, we are recording a new Lightning Dogs episode.
Oh.
That will be premiering shortly, but first, I have an interview with Weird Al Yankovic, and that's what's coming up next.
What?
Not in this episode, but the next episode that comes out. So look forward to that.
But I really like Weird Al.
Yeah, so
wait for it, man.
Subscribe to Nerdy Show. If you haven't subscribed, yeah. Subscribe on SoundCloud, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on iTunes. All the subscriptions.
We try to make it easy as possible.
Subscribe on the internet.
Yeah. If there's a way that you want to subscribe that you can't subscribe, tell us about that way that you can't subscribe so we can make you subscribe that way.
Huh.
That's what it's all about. All right. Alexander Alverson said, $5 to the Ape of a Thousand Dicks. Perhaps this will reveal the true origins of the movie Dick Puncher.
Perfect.
Hoodoo Voodoo said, my wallet can't repel dicks of this magnitude. I concede defeat, Ape of a Thousand Dicks, good game. And yet, Hoodoo Voodoo, perchance the dream was triumphant. You backed the wrong horse.
Backed the wrong ape, it seems like.
Muckraker said, to sleep, perchance to dream. To dream is endless. Perchance to dream, damn it! Anti-snipe. And that was the killing blow, the anti-snipe
nice.
Blow that secured it. And then also we got to give a shout out to Pestilence, who decided that they were all good. And he would not single a single one of these out. Pestilence, you're a good egg. Then this month, the glorious month of July, Dr. Zombie Pop said, wow, has it really been 3 years since you guys helped give me the awesomest anniversary present ever? That, of course, being the original fan-chosen Dungeons & Doritos episode that he chose for his beloved bride, Till Doth Do Us Part.
Yeah.
And then a brand new face on the support drive, Temsu said, hi, Nerdy Show. I've gotten to enjoy your work for a long time now. I wanted to give back by contributing. What I have attached is a fan fiction.
Oh, this.
It's D&D and Lightning Dogs. In the middle of last month's support drive, I thought of an idea. Then I checked the forums and saw that there was already a Lightning Dogs and Dungeons & Doritos crossover option listed. I didn't want to step in on anybody's toes as a newcomer. Still, and this is in my best Dr. Stan's voice, I couldn't help it. It just popped in there. So I fleshed out the idea and I'm sending it to you now. I know you have plans for Lightning Dogs, and I know this fanfic isn't canon. If you want to put it up on the site, that's awesome. If you want to keep it on the down low, I have no problem with that. It's more for you guys than anything else. I wish all of you the best, and I hope you enjoy it. And Temsu, we totally did.
It was pretty amazing.
You can find that fanfic up at either the Dungeons & Doritos fan love page or the Lightning Dogs fan love page. It's on both. really great characterization. Like, you got the voices of the D&D crew down pat, and
nailed pretty close to some of the lightning dogs, I gotta say. Like, not too far off.
So well played, very well played, and if you guys want to check that out, there'll be a link directly to it on this episode's page. Thank you guys for contributing. Now, if you got anything you can chip in, please do. We got to make at least $300 every month. And of course, if you want those State of the Empire perks, that's the $600 stretch goal. But
if you don't contribute, I have to go back on the street.
Yeah, we got to throw Hex out on the street.
Please don't make us
on
do
the
that.
Corner. I don't want to do tricks again.
It's hard feeding five midgets stacked on top of each other instead of a trench coat. So you didn't know that about Hex?
No, I
know. It's so convincing.
He's basically like the Terror Terriers from the Diamond Dogs.
Maybe. We can't get into that yet. We haven't really established what the Terror Terror is.
Tune in 2 weeks from now to find out what we talked about.
The answer. Is Hex really a lightning dog in disguise?
Well, we just start off the episode with, no, and then jump into lightning dogs.
There's one more way you can support us. That is Amazon. If you buy things through our Amazon link, there's a button on our front page. It says, support Nerdy Show, shop Amazon. Click that link. It'll take you to a forum page. You can choose the US, the Canadian, or the UK listings. If you go through that link, get to Amazon from those links, anything you buy there, we get a cut of. It's actually pretty substantial. You don't have to pay any more money. You're just buying the stuff you normally would. Shop for birthdays, shop for holidays, all that stuff. And you give back to Nerdy Show.
Heck, if you want to buy us stuff and give us money twice, we're okay with that.
And if you want to buy, if you buy something big on Amazon and you want to send us an email about that and say, Nerdy Show, I love you guys. I can't afford to just give you money, but I bought a big fucking TV. We'll read your message. We'll say thanks to you. That's great. info@nerdyshow.com. That's where to mail it to. That
Send
is
us pictures of you and your TV. We're really like that.
You're from the internet. We're from the internet. We all buy things on Amazon. So if you buy your Amazon things through our links, you're giving back to the show. It's completely effortless. All you have to do is type in nerdyshow.com instead of amazon.com.
Yeah. Pretty sweet deal for everybody all around, yeah. I think.
Everybody wins, guys. Everybody wins. So, thank you so much for listening to the State of the Empire. We'll be back with more Star Wars news when there's time.
I have a Star Wars joke.
Oh, you have a Star... Oh, yeah Star Wars jokes. I totally forgot about the Star Wars jokes.
Depending on how lame they are, I might have to stretch it into two or three. Here's an old one. This is one of the first ones I found, and I've been saving it because I didn't want to say it. So, Hex, what do you call a Sith who won't fight?
I don't know, Doug. What do you call a Sith that won't fight?
A Sithy. I'll give you another. What do you call a person who brings a rancor its dinner?
I want to guess the appetizer.
Yes, the appetizer. That's 1 point. You have 1 point, sir. All right, I'll give you. You got that one. That last one. Did you hear about the Ewoks who got married in that tree?
No. What about the Ewoks that got married in that tree?
It was just really sappy.
And on that foul note, here's something extremely exciting. It's a track premiere, a brand new song from Cyfried's soon-to-be-released Season 5 album. This song has never been played before. It's exclusive to this episode. Until the record comes out, please enjoy The Empire Kicks Back.
So many troops, not one hit Luke. You people wonder why? The training's intense, it's money well spent, but they're always drunk and high. We're running, we're gunning, so scene number one, and a princess gets taken, a planet gets done, and but Death Star has the parties that only tyranny can buy. So join our cause, cause once you embrace the dark side, I promise you'll be amazed. To party with us, we'll make you betray the life with their boring and celibate ways. Vader be hitting a bottle of gym and he's mumbling, Padme, steer clear of him. I'm rocking the glow stick with severing limbs and we'll slaughter some Ewoks on a whim.
Party on the Death Star,
howdy all day. wherever the party goes. Our armies of meat is most likely cantina, cooler than Hoth, where we serve margaritas, as hot as two blondes on the Tatooine suns, as all the Jawas know. Jabba's fighting to get through the door, with girls wearing chains and bikinis, I'm sure. Out drinking a Sarlacc and crying for more, so much we forgot that we're fighting a war. So join us, cause face it, there's nowhere to hide, and do all the things that the Jedi's deny. Take over Cloud City, but leave them alive, then party with Lando at Gold 45. This party gets better all the time.
Party on the Death Star!
Party all day, in a galaxy, far, far away, the Empire kicks back. Going all night, no Jedi sign, get you feeling right, the Empire kicks back. Party all day, in a galaxy, far, far away, the Empire kicks back. Going all night, no Jedi sign, get you feeling right, the Empire kicks back.
Hey, you made it to the end of the episode. Well, I've got some sexy secret things to tell you. Not really too secret, I do say them at the end of every episode, but if you liked what you heard, it is imperative that you follow my every word. First, I want to thank you for listening to Nerdy Show. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows in the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or, most importantly, by directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show outtakes, dramatic readings, images, and other crazy stuff, and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. But if you really want to level up, find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming. Just visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. So to recap, tell a friend, donate to the show, and connect with the entire Nerdy Show Network crew online. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.
When you describe Palpatine's forehead as basically a butt, I immediately said, no, Watto's butt. It looks like Watto's butt.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.